No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP-certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science-first supplementation. After adding Ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Welcome in to the Rockies Insider. I'm your host, Patrick Lyons, bringing you the last Cactus League game for the Colorado Rockies in Arizona. Tuesday, they will play the Minnesota Twins in their spring training facility down in Fort Myers, Florida, a couple days off. And then March 28th, Rockies get their season started a day after everybody else. But going to talk about extension season. Some teams are doing it right now. Should the Rockies be doing that? Extending some or one of their players to a long-term deal. And the comments made by Dick Monfort a couple weeks ago. I think I only briefly touched on it on the podcast, and so it's only right that I give you my full menu of thoughts. Monday, Colorado did lose to the Brewers 4-2. Bryant did get the save, Tyler Bryant of the Milwaukee Brewers. It was a game that, you know, Ryan Feltner was, you know, pretty good, probably one of his better spring starts. He finishes with a 6.14 ERA, but he goes 5 innings pitched, gives up 6 hits, 2 earned runs, 2 walks, didn't allow a homer. That was good to see. His counterpart, Nestor Cortes, 5 innings pitched, nothing but a shutout there. Rockies with 5 hits, 2 of which ended up coming from Jordan Beck, getting that vote of confidence from manager Bud Black. So it was good to see that from him. Now, it is extension season. As I mentioned, this time last year, Ezekiel Tovar received a 7-year, $63.5 million guaranteed deal, a contract that has a club option for year 8, $20.5 million. And by that point, you may want to go ahead and buy that out, especially considering what a top shortstop is going to be at that time. But a guy who's 22 years old signing a 7-year deal, that means if he does end up reaching free agency at a certain point, he's still on the right side of 30. He's still a young player. He still has a lot of trajectory. You can project a lot for him. And because of how well he had played through his first full season in 2023, you knew that as he gets into the arbitration process, it's going to be a little bit more expensive. Not anything too crazy, but the arbitration process can certainly inflate the value of some guys' contracts in such a way that a team, it might just strike them at the wrong time. And so when you sign an extension with a young player like Ezekiel Tovar, what you are guaranteed is cost certainty. You now know this is how much money we are going to be paying this guy in this year. And when you go through the arbitration process, you just don't know, because the number could get really, really crazy. I mean, look at Juan Soto last year in his final year through arbitration making $30 million. Well, you know, had you struck a deal with him, which the Washington Nationals tried to do back in 2021 before the 2022 spring training, they tried to figure something out with him whereby, hey, they maybe would have only had to pay him $25 million for that final year of arbitration, his final year before going into free agency. Oh, yeah, and then because it is an extension, we're going to get you for X amount more years for $25 million. The advantage for the player is if I get hurt, guess what? I get this money guaranteed. It doesn't matter what happened. If I get really, really bad, I get this money guaranteed. And the team has to then pay that player. So it's not something that you're going to roll the red carpet out for every young player, every guy that comes along and hits the ground running and has some success early on. It's sometimes just not necessary because either in arbitration, they're not going to get a ton of money, or because you don't know what's going to happen in 4, 5, 6 years from now. I've mentioned Brendan Rodgers a lot lately because I think he is a very interesting case, or at least a very interesting player to look at and learn from, for not only the Rockies, but for fans to look at and try to understand the business side of baseball. This is a player that, you know, the Rockies were really counting on in a major way. And I'm not going to get too far down the rabbit hole with some things that I'll eventually say at some point in terms of Rockies front office and how they managed Brendan Rodgers over the course of his time with the Rockies. But he never even reached free agency. He was non-tendered in what would have been his final year of arbitration. So this is a guy that you had really high hopes for, and yet at the end, you didn't even want to give him what he was worth, at least what he was worth in the arbitration process. So if you want to sign a player to an extension, you better be sure that you want to pay him going forward and that he's going to be worth what you are paying him. So it's one reason why not every guy is afforded that opportunity. And some guys like Vladimir Guerrero Jr. say, I think I'm worth a lot more than you're willing to give me, so I'm the one that's going to walk away. Most times it's the teams going, yeah, we're not going to give you an extension because frankly, you're not really going to become that expensive, or there's tons of guys like you out there already on the market. So why do we want to guarantee you a contract and guarantee that you've got to stick around on this team for X amount of years? It doesn't necessarily make sense. The Rockies in early 2025, they've been working on that. Well, they weren't working on it during the work stoppage, I'll say that much, but they were trying to get it done before the start of the regular season. But Freeland got that 5-year, $64.5 million extension. That same spring in March, Ryan McMahon got his out of the way on March 21st, 6-year, $70 million extension. Both of those guys were 2 years away from free agency. So you can understand how signing extensions to guys early on in their tenure is a rarity. Tovar signing a 7-year deal after only one full season in the majors can be a rarity, and it's typically a rarity for Latin-born players. There's not a ton of guys that are born, raised, developed in the United States that sign those deals early on. A lot of those guys prefer to go into free agency, and they think that even if they got to go year to year, they will end up making more money. So it can be very much a rarity, and you want to wait a little bit closer to free agency, partially because you still don't know what you have. Rockies signing those extensions with Freeland and McMahon 2 years before their free agency. They had 2 more years left of club control. So that does mean McMahon and Freeland's 2024 season, that would have been their free agent year. They could have been somewhere else, but that was the first year that the Rockies got back by giving them this extension. Nolan Arenado, back on February 26, 2019, signed that 8-year, $260 million extension. He was only a year away from free agency at that point. It was the largest annual salary given to a position player at that time. And you look around Major League Baseball and you're seeing other teams and players signing similar deals for guys that are you know, a little bit closer to free agency, 2, maybe 3 years off. Alejandro Kirk, the catcher, signs a 5-year, $58 million extension with the Blue Jays. Tanner Bibee, on the same day of that Nolan Jones trade, signed a 5-year, $48 million extension to stay with the Guardians. Reds catcher Jose Trevino, on the wrong side of 30 years old, believe it or not, signed a 3-year extension. He really only added 2 years of new money. He was still on the books for 1 year, but he gets 2 more years at $11.5 million, kind of similar to what the Rockies did after 2021 with Elias Diaz, signing him to that 2-year extension or 3-year extension, but really it was 2 more years of club control. And the Diamondbacks, Justin Martinez gets a 5-year, $18 million extension, guaranteed $18 million. Does come with 2 options that could end up bringing the deal to as high as $39 million. So Arizona giving themselves cost certainty and saying, you know what, we want to make sure that we got ourselves a way to hold on to this guy if he does become somewhat of a stud closer. So if you're in a fantasy baseball league, whether it's NL only or it's all of MLB, AL and NL combined, Justin Martinez could be a sneaky good late pick. So for the Rockies, are they going to have any announcements coming up on Brenton Doyle? He would be that one guy you would want to sign to an extension. I wouldn't put Ryan Feltner in that class because he has half of a season under his belt that you really like what he can do. If he can continue to do more of that and you're confident that it's not an aberration is a vision that you have. It's like a ghost, right? So Ryan Feltner, we're going to kind of wait and see what happens there with him. Nolan Jones was a guy this time last year. He said, oh, do you want to sign him to an extension? And we all saw how that played out. Not just the fact that the Rockies traded him, but also that, oh, he got injured and all of a sudden his future got a little bit cloudier. Those kind of things can happen. You need to have a really strong track record to earn one of these extensions, or at least in the case of the Rockies with Ezekiel Tovar, you have to be that confident in your guy. And for the Rockies, they would say, hey, Tovar did have a track record. We saw what he was able to do day in and day out. And he continued to do it. I think he played 20 games in spring training. He was one of the league leaders, believe it or not, in this spring training. So I know they wanted to get him some time off during the season, but they didn't do a good job in spring training of getting him off his feet. He wants to play. Ryan McMahon said it. He wants to play. And he absolutely is going to go out there and grind and get the job done. So, you know, if you look underneath the hood a little bit for some of these guys, there are players that know how to stay healthy and players that have that incredibly intangible ability of availability. Tovar has that. Big shout out to the homie Kenneth Weber of Purple Row and Best of the West podcast over on Blake Street Banner's YouTube channel. You can check out that podcast. They go live each and every Wednesday night. I want to say 7:15. Great job looking at baseball through the lens of the National League West. He wrote for Purple Row last year. I believe it was in September. What an extension would look like for Brenton Doyle, and found some great comps, great comparisons. Did an incredible job kind of figuring out, you know what, maybe it could be 6 years for $66 million. And I tend to think that is definitely the ballpark that Brenton Doyle would end up getting. I think maybe it could be a little bit lower than that, right? You look at Tovar, he's 7 years, $63.5 million. And in many ways, Tovar and Doyle provide almost the exact same thing. Not literally, but you know, whereas Doyle has a little bit more of that speed component, they both are great defenders. Tovar has just as much power as Brenton Doyle. They're both, you know, again, Gold Glove Award winners. Tovar is a little bit younger. You know, we'll see how center field at Coors Field ends up treating Brenton Doyle, if that ends up beating him down a little bit more. So you like Tovar's potential for having longevity in his career, getting the cushy role, so to speak, at shortstop. But if Tovar got 7, okay, 6 years for Doyle, that makes sense. Maybe a little bit less than the nearly $9 million annually that Tovar is getting. But here's the thing for the Rockies. You don't need to sign Brenton Doyle to an extension. You don't need to do that at all. In fact, you probably shouldn't do that. And that is not a knock on Brenton Doyle. It is not a knock on him, and it's not a knock on the Rockies. It's understanding the business of baseball. Brenton Doyle will not become a free agent until after his age 31 season. So I don't know why you would want to extend. That means beyond what you have him for. You have him right now for the next 5 years under club control when you're looking at service time. So he's going to be around for the next 5 years. How do you know that the sixth year, at least the sixth year, that's what an extension is. You're buying out a year of free agency and you're getting some cost certainty. He's on the wrong side of 30 years old. I don't know how else to say that. The benefit of extending Doyle, I think, for the Rockies is merely to have a press conference and point to a fan favorite and say, see, we're doing something. We're trying to win. But extending Doyle does not make the Rockies better in any way. Brenton Doyle is a Rocky for another five seasons. A lot. Underlined. A lot can happen in that time. So you just don't need to do that. It's nice to look around baseball and say, hey, what are the other teams doing? I think that's something that within the Rockies front office, they need to do a lot more and try to understand what the other teams are doing and why are they successful. Professional sports can very much be a copycat league. And I think the Rockies could be criticized for not being copycats enough. We understand they have a different set of circumstances to deal with, but at the end of the day, they're still a baseball team. If they ran and operated their organization like the top 10 in all of baseball, sure, putting that kind of operation in Coors Field might not take certain things into consideration, but I would say about 9 out of 10 times, those top 10 organizations, you put them in Denver, even if they can't, quote unquote, figure out Coors Field, they're going to just put a better product out on the field. So it's nice to look around and say, what are the other teams doing? It's also important to understand why those teams are doing that and why it makes sense for them. Unfortunately for the Rockies, it just doesn't make sense for them to extend Brenton Doyle right now. They just don't need to do it. Making sense of Dick Monfort's comments to Mark Kisla of the Denver Gazette. There was a couple quotes in there that jump out that I thought was interesting. The first one is, quote, something's got to happen. The competitive imbalance in baseball has gotten to the point of ludicrous. What is this word? The point of ludicrosity? Is that really a word? I may have to look that up. Is that like interpolated? It's an unregulated industry. Well, that's not true. Baseball is very much regulated, and all of the parties have agreed upon the rules in the collective bargaining agreement. And despite the fact that some teams have more money to play with than others, that money does not guarantee anything. It just doesn't. Sure, it might be a bit unfair. Life is unfair. Professional sports is unfair. Baseball is very unfair. But it's also fair in the sense that you have to play the games. You could have the best team on paper, but it doesn't guarantee anything. Monfort also said, quote, the only way to fix baseball is to do a salary cap and floor. First off, is baseball broken? Baseball's not broken. Baseball's not broken right now. I understand if you're looking at the Dodgers saying, oh my God, can you believe that? That seems really unfair. I understand that. But again, they have not accomplished anything. They're still going to play these games. They're not going to shut the league down for a year or a couple years. Because you're going to say, wow, they got these guys locked up for a couple more seasons. So, all right, well, let's figure some things out and then we'll go play, I don't know, 2027. That'll be the first new season because the Dodgers won't be so good. That's what makes professional sports fun. That's what makes it fun. Yes, it can be frustrating. And yes, it can be frustrating. But a salary cap and a floor, I don't think is going to improve something that isn't really broken. Sure, does it have its flaws? 100%. We know that. But a salary cap and a salary floor is going to, I think, in many ways, do more damage than keeping things exactly as they are right now. Monfort continued to say, with a cap comes a floor. for a lot of teams, the question is, how do they get to the floor? And that includes us probably, but on some sort of revenue split deal, I would be all in. Now, revenue sharing is something that I think has worked for a lot of other leagues, but how you get from the point in which you've got the Players Association in one corner and in the exact opposite corner, you've got all 30 owners in Major League Baseball. How do you come together for that? Because I don't think the players want too big of a slice of pie. I think the owners, and it, look, it's true in all sports, they want a much larger piece of the pie than they should be getting. Without the players, you don't have the league. And yes, if you don't have the league, where do those players go? They need each other. But to say that the league doesn't need the players is absolutely wrong. You can't have a league with scabs, replacement players. It doesn't work. People aren't there to see the laundry. They're there to see the players who happen to wear the laundry, right? It's simpatico right there. So it just kind of baffles me, the idea that baseball is broken. No, it could use some tweaks, but these comments from Dick Monfort are from somebody that works on the executive board of Major League Baseball. He is using this opportunity to be a mouthpiece for the billionaires, not the quote unquote measly millionaires of the players. So he's very much trying to appeal to the fans, but he's appealing to his billionaire buddies. That's really what these comments are about and who it's for. Monfort continued by saying, "The Dodgers are the greatest poster children we could have had for how something has to change." I'm 50% in agreement there. Not entirely, but I do agree to some element in what he just said. Now, do the Dodgers have an edge right now in Major League Baseball that has allowed them to have three players earning more than $300 million? Do they sell at their ballpark every game? And they may possibly reach 4 million in attendance this season? Does every or many player want to be a part of that organization? Yes. But did they create that situation for themselves? Yeah. Did they develop their analytics department to the point where they can make any player that much better? Yes. And keep in mind, did they force opposing teams to trade future top 100 prospects to them in exchange for big league role players? Look at the Cubs deal last offseason. Look at the deal a few years ago, and now it's 2017, 2018, where the Dodgers were able to acquire the prospects that ultimately got them Mookie Betts, and all they had to do was dump the contracts of Yasiel Puig, Matt Kemp, and Alex Wood. Like, they work smarter. They don't just work better because they've got more money. They also work smarter. So I half agree that the Dodgers are the poster children right now. They're that evil empire. But evil empires don't win as much as you might think. Again, that's part of the fallacy. Like umpires making bad calls. They are right 96% of the time. So what are we really arguing about? What are we really arguing about? I get it. You want your robo-umps. But guess what? Players don't want it. You want to tweak it so that you've got the challenge system, and we're on our way to that. And I think this is the same thing. You do want a salary floor, but you don't want a salary cap. There is a cap right now. It's just a soft cap. But you do want that floor, and the owners are not going to give up that floor unless they get a cap. And that's exactly what Monfort said. He said, the only way to fix baseball is to do a salary cap and a floor. With a cap comes a floor. He's trying to sell you a bill of goods. Also, something has already changed. Talking about something has to change when it comes to the Dodgers. Something has already changed. We've got three wildcard teams. Spending the most money on player acquisition is not a death sentence to every other team. I think owners are very much aware the Dodgers are becoming, you know, this juggernaut. It's kind of great for them because now you've got 29 other fan bases to complain. And this is going to put pressure on the MLB Players Association to strike a deal that creates a salary cap. But be clear, The comments that Dick Monfort made are about owners getting what they want, not about fans feeling better about their team's chances of having a great year. The worst comment, of course, that was made in the article in the Denver Gazette to Mark Kisla was, quote, "I just wish it wasn't so damn hard." Nothing that's easy is worth doing. It has to be hard. Life is hard. Life is challenging. My rebuttal to that would be, is it hard because you have to contend with the Dodgers? No, because there's three wild cards. Or is it just hard because your organization has struggled with figuring out how to be successful? Yes. You can control that. That's the piece that you can control, is making better decisions. And I don't just mean literally decisions in trade this player or trade that player. It also is decisions of who's making the choice in deciding whether you trade or not. And what information do you have to decide, do you trade this player or not? How much have you invested in that information? That is what the Rockies and other small teams, small market clubs, can control. You know who else controlled their fate really well against the Dodgers? The Giants in 2021 when they won the division. The Diamondbacks in 2023 in the NLDS. The Padres in the 2022 NLDS. They all found a way in the NL West to get by the Dodgers and get past them. And the Giants, ultimately, they did lose to the Dodgers in the postseason. But it's hard right now to understand what is the debate. Are we worried about the regular season or are we worried about the World Series? You play the regular season to get to the World Series. And if you're not having teams win the Fall Classic in back-to-back seasons, because you have a playoff system in place that makes it really equitable for any of the teams that get in, any of the 12 teams to get in, then you don't really have that problem. You have a regular season problem, but you don't have the whole year is rigged up for those teams that have the most money and they are set up and guaranteed to win. That's just not how it goes. Before that, the Nationals found a way to get past the Dodgers in the 2019 National League Division Series. The Red Sox found a way in the 2018 World Series. The Astros found a way in the 2017 World Series. The Cubs and Mets did in 2016 and 2015. Cardinals did in 2014 and 2013. The Dodgers have two rings in the last decade. That's a lot, right? That's a lot in MLB's current model. But not earning a ring in 36 of the last 38 years merely underlines the fairness of baseball. It isn't fair. That's the beauty of baseball. You still have to play the games. We shouldn't change everything about free agency and the salary cap and the salary floor to help out a handful of franchises that have gotten in their own way and have been bad, bad, bad organizations. Do you really think a change in salary cap structure would improve the likelihood of teams like the Pirates, Marlins, and fill in the blank with anyone else, you think? Is that really going to help them make the postseason more? I don't think so. Is that really what baseball should be doing right now? Helping the downtrodden who cry poor when they're not helping themselves? I just don't think so. I think the biggest revelation in this article, check it out if you get an opportunity, is it really actually has nothing to do with the CBA or the salary cap or floor. It's Kisla writing, and these are not Monfort's quotes. This is what Kisla wrote. I thought this was really interesting. Monfort also told me he's not certain how much longer he wants to serve as the chief executive officer of a team that has lost 100 games two seasons in a row. I've got nothing to add to that, but that is very interesting. How much longer he wants to stay in that role as a 71-year-old guy and has had to operate through what will likely be with this season their seventh consecutive losing season under 500, the seven worst years in franchise history, and probably going to be the three worst seasons in franchise history, four worst seasons. Again, any way you shake it, it's been really, really bad. And Monfort in the past has said, maybe I should fire myself. He's not going to do that, and he has every right in the world to keep his job, keep his position, doing what he's doing. But it's interesting to think that maybe a change would come. Maybe. I don't know. I really don't know. I do know that I'm over on the social medias at Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB, Rockies Insider. Go watch some of those videos. Get caught up on the Nolan Jones trade. What were my thoughts in the, you know, only a couple hours after the Jones deal? And then when a lot of those thoughts were predicated on Zach Veen making the opening day roster, what were my thoughts right after that? Two shows you can watch and see the comments from, or just check out on the podcast side of things. Appreciate you dropping by, giving me this momentum. But as I like to say, momentum, it can only be as good as your next show. So of course, I'll talk to you Tuesday night, 6:15 Mountain Daylight Time, over on the Blake Street Banner YouTube channel with my guy Noah Spirek doing the Blake Street Banner, talking about the opening day roster and some predictions for the 2025 campaign. I'll talk to you then.